before I get into, I don't want to save my testimonial thing for the end. I want to do it first. I know you just heard one from Howard. How many of you are already planning on being at the convention this summer, the Marriott? So for the rest of you, let me ask you this. So good, I'm talking to the right people. What the hell are you thinking? Let me tell you, when I first went to Star Power, the year before I went to Star Power, the best year I'd ever had was 24 deals. I was doing 18 to 24 deals a year. That year, when the convention was, it was in Phoenix, this was 1992 or 3, that year I did 38 deals. That was more money than I ever made before in my life. Following year, I did 60 deals. I plateaued at 60 for 3 years, then popped it up to 100, then to 125, 130. Last year, I closed, 418. And it's right connected with being involved with Star Power. So if there was a message here on that, it's just, you can ask any of the stars, is it possible for you to achieve fantastic success without Star Power? Sure, people do it. Do most people do it? No. Do I think it would be good for you to be at that convention? I don't think it would be good for you. I think you're a damn fool if you don't come. That would be my sense. And I mean that literally. Like, unless you're sitting there going, like, no, I'm hoping to screw up. I'm hoping to just find some way. I came today, this is good, but I'd like to just go back to a toboggan ride down. Don't come. Don't. But if you're hoping to have more success, I'm telling you, be there. That's it, just be there. If you like what you've heard so far today, if you think this is neat, this isn't a pimple on the rear of what you will have at that deal. I'm serious, I'm totally serious. You come to these, you get involved with these top people, everybody on the stage today, the Star Power people, like Nate's right here in front, they're the top agents in the world. And if you want to be more successful, you just hang around. And this is the guy you're going to hear this afternoon, Tim Baker. I remember this was 1992 or 3 in that room in Phoenix. And I said, what would you do if you were me and you wanted to be more successful? And I'll never forget what Tim said. Hang around the stars. Talk to them. Find out how they think. Because you're going to find successful people think differently than people who aren't doing very much business. And the market we have here in Phoenix, no city in the country had the run-up in inventory we did. We went from, at the height of the feeding frenzy, we had 35 days of inventory. Right now, we have valley-wide a 10-month supply. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I believe this is the best market we've ever had, ever. But let me tell you why. If you look back in 2005, if you were working a buyer, you could write an offer above full price. You could write 10 of them in a row and not get it accepted. If I was a buyer agent, wouldn't that sort of be like welcome to hell? I mean, seriously. Was there something neat about that? I mean, from your point of view, was that really a fantastic deal? Like you go on, you wrote 10 offers in a row and couldn't get one accepted. And that's a neat thing. I thought it was terrible. If you were a listing agent, do you think in that market there was a little bit of downward pressure on commissions? I do. Sellers could put a sign in their yard and sell it for list. They didn't need an agent. It was the agent selling for $100,000 above list. Now, here's what's fantastic. In that market, we could look at a house that comped out at 2.25. We'd reluctantly take the listing for $250. And in less than 24 hours, we'd have it sold for 3.25 cash. That was the market we had. The market we have right now is that market stood on its head. Right now, I'm going to show you a number here. This is a, there you go. And these, the numbers here, I'm going to pull out a different one so I can actually see it. Shows, watch this, it's a little technique. I used to dye my, I've dyed my hair gray to give me a more mature look for business. Then, it's work too. Then I had it thinned on top, and that has just, oh, I gotta tell you, that has just given me this mature look that's fantastic, and now I got these, and I easily now pass for a middle-aged person. So that's fantastic. Very proud of that. The current number, as of last night, of listings in MLS was 49,741. I have this chart, and it shows that this at the end of February was 46,878. You can see the big number on the board there. There were 4,990 houses that actually closed in February. And you can see all those numbers across the bottom of the screen there. Now, if you would like this, I want to tell you how I got this data. In fact, if you go to, in your book, page 34 in your book, the bottom of page 34 shows an area called statistics. I got these personally, every one of these numbers, with the exception of the orange one, I'm going to tell you in a second how I got it. I got these by just going into MLS, plugging in like January of 2003. I put January 1st to January 31st, 2003 for closing. Just ask how many deals closed in MLS that month, all right? And if you would like this, I'll get it either posted on the Star Power website for you or send me an email. I'll send you the Excel spreadsheet. You can have it, and you can keep this thing current yourself and just plug in us once a month, go into MLS, and just go down to the bottom. After you plug that in, don't try to do a search. Go all the way to the bottom and hit the statistics button. Just go all the way to the bottom and hit the statistics button, and you'll get something that looks like that right there. That's the same vendor we use here because it looks the same to me. That's how I got these numbers. The orange one in the middle, the unsold, here's a real fantastic technique I used. I took the little number and subtracted it from the big number, okay? Now, some of you are going to say, how the hell do you come up with stuff like that, okay? Now, before I tell you how I come up with it, I want to read you something that was in the newspaper headline, was right under the headline for the Arizona Republic. And I like this because it's fantastic data here. Home values rise despite slowdown. Did you see that in the Arizona Republic? About 3 weeks ago, it was right, it was the closest thing they had at that day to a headline in the newspaper. Now here, and I got the, I'm going to tell you exactly what it said. It said, home values rise despite slowdown. Despite falling prices by year's end, leftover momentum from the valley's housing boom pushed 2006 values above the previous year's values in almost every city. Isn't that amazing? It's also complete crap, but isn't it amazing? This was, they had this. Now here's the next, is Median prices in Maricopa County ranged from 2% in Higley, median price increases ranged from 2% in Higley to 47% in Tonopah. Do you know what a median price is? Medians were half fall above, half fall below. That's all you gotta know. Now here's what's fantastic. Tonopah, prior to last year, had tar paper shacks, right? So there's a housing development went in. And so the median price went up. Now Jay Butler at the Arizona University, ASU, real estate division, says median price increases in Maricopa County ranged from 2% in Higley to 47% in Tonopah. Only Waddell and Youngtown experienced declines, according to the Republic's latest Valley Home Value Survey. Now this would obviously tell you that you wouldn't need to ever believe anything the Republic prints on any subject. Now, and Jay Butler says, this is a good market. It's good vanilla ice cream. It's not gourmet. I think it's gourmet. See, here's the deal. I don't have a PhD like Jay. So I had to use a really sophisticated technique to find out what prices were in a neighborhood. It's so fantastic, I'm going to share it with you. We look at the prices in the neighborhood. I'm so proud that we do that. And here's the deal. See, if prices are set based on supply and demand only, if there's some other factor, it would only be something dreamt up by someone with a degree in economics. You understand? For anyone in the world who's actually out looking, it would all be supply and demand. If you had about a 90 to 100 day supply of houses in any area, you would have slight, gentle upward pressure on prices. When we hit a 35 day supply, we had screaming upward pressure on prices. There are a few little pockets in the valley where inventories at around 90 to 100 days. There are a few. There's an extreme, like, let's say you had a listing in Surprise. Let's just say, for example. And thousands of, maybe tens of thousands of agents do have listings in Surprise. Or you were out at Queen Creek, Johnson Ranch. Oh my God. They've got, right now, it's about a 3-year supply. Do you give a crap what the comps say? This is not a trick question. If you just take the lowest asking price and go, you gotta be way under that one. Did that work? You got it. Now here's a little deal. Again, I don't have a PhD, but it's a little experiment I want to try. Think of something you really like to do. You really, really, really like to do it. It's something you go, oh man, that when you do it, you could do it for 4 or 5 hours and it's just like, seems like 10 minutes. Just time, you got the idea. That's fun for you to do. You with me? Would you rather do that or take a listing that's not going to sell? They pay the same. You get paid exactly the same. You get the same money. So you get to pick, would you rather do the fun thing or go and take a listing that's not going to sell? They're going to pay the same anyway. You get sign calls. We have a man here who says you get sign calls. All right. So that's true. So you might want to keep one or two listings that you know won't sell just for the fun of the sign calls. All right, all right. Now I'm going to tell you a magic word. Have you ever had a deal where like you're on an appointment, you know the house is worth 275 tops, they won't list it for less than 3 1/4 and you just can't get them to budge. You ever had that happen? You know, numbers like that. I'm going to tell you a magic word you can use. It'll work every time. You ready? Leave. Just leave. Unless you honestly believe, well, I know it won't sell. I don't mind lying to them a little bit about this. I just want those damn sign calls. Okay. Then do it. I'm thinking there must be, right now, because let's go back to that chart right here. If there's 40, I put the glasses back on to give you the real number. If there's 46,878 listings for sale at the end of February, and 4,990 actually sold that month, there were 41,888, or just about 90%, not selling. And here's another piece of amazing data. For every listing that sells, it's replaced. You get that? For every single, like inventory is actually rising again. So for every listing that sells, there's a new one to take its place. So we could say, conservatively, 8 out of 9 listings that are in the MLS right now, guess when they're going to sell? Never! Never! They're never going to sell. Never! So what would be, unless you just thought, I would like some sign calls, I'll go tell people, just whatever price they want, say sure. And you'd have a lot of company because there's 8 out of 9 agents out doing it right now. Like no one could go, that's unethical. Well, tell them. They're doing it. How would you know if it was overpriced? Let's say you had the listing and it won't sell. Would that be a trick, like a clue? Let's say you have it and it's not selling. When you call them, I don't want to call them, they might get mad at me. What difference would it make? What if they did? Unless you're just, again, going, but I'm getting a sign call every week off of it. But if you didn't do it just to get the sign call and you were hoping to sell it, see, that'd be the tricky part. If you were hoping to sell it, there's another chart, and you can have that one too if you want, that actually shows month by month, listings taken, solds done. But here's what I wanted you to see. This is right from Armless. On every listing, on every listing appointment, in every neighborhood, every time, I want to see a one-line printout of the actives, pendings, and solds. I actually, normally we do the expireds and cancels too, but I deliberately wanted this to be on one page and find one that would fit on one page so I could show it here to you today. This is straight from Armless. Active, pending, and sold. Somebody take a look there and see how many are sold. This is going back 6 months exactly. Why do we go back 6 months exactly? That's how far back an appraiser will go. So I never want to see a time other than 6 months. Unless we're in an area where there's just nothing, we'll go back a year. But I don't want offbeat times. It's either 6 months or a year, preferably 6 months. So we have 7 sold in 6 months, and we have 8 for sale without even bothering with a calculator. Can you clearly see there's more than a 6-month supply? Yeah? If there's more than a 6-month supply, regardless of what the newspaper printed, regardless of what the seller thinks, regardless of what other agents told him it might sell for, can you clearly see there is no upward price pressure in that neighborhood? Yes. And all you'd have to do to figure out what it would sell for is find something not selling. You know it's below that number. With no PhD, you can do that. So, this makes sense. The stuff on how to crunch the numbers and that kind of stuff, is that 431 telling me something? I'm out of time? Oh, I've got 4 minutes and 25 seconds left. Beautiful, beautiful. It's down to 414 right now. Now we're at 4:11. I want to use my time to amuse myself. That's what I want to do. So the stuff on how to do the cost per square foot and all that mumbo jumbo is not real fascinating to me. It's really only relevant, the price per square foot is beside what people think. If you backed out the price of the land and took the amenities and made them even, the truth is, just find one like it that's not selling. You know it's below that. The fact, if you found a sold that's 4 months ago, it might be worth the same, probably less. Prices are not moving up right now. So if you're, this might not be a true statement on a $1 million house, on a $300,000 house, would you agree that if it's properly priced, you could sell it in the first 10 days? So time is not a benefit in this market. Like something good's not going to be happening later. So whatever price you take it at, and you can we tell the seller this on the front end, if we don't get an offer right now, We're fishing with our bait out of water. There's a little one of those charts somebody can show you later, shows the bait out of water. The point I'm getting at is that if it's not selling, adjust. Make the price different. I get asked all the time, well, how do we know what it's going to sell for? We don't know what it's going to sell for. If we underprice it, we will find out because we get multiple offers immediately. Raise the price. If we put it in the market and no one comes to see it, there's just three reasons why. It's inaccessible. Like some agents, even though they have it on lockbox, only have the lockbox in the agent remarks section, which is not searchable. Or maybe it is now in the new MLS, but in the old one you could. If you have it on lockbox, put it in the feature code where it can be searched. If you're looking for a house for $250 and there's several hundred of them out there and you're a buyer agent, would you normally have lockbox as a search feature? Yeah. So if it's inaccessible, that'd be a reason for it not to sell. In the wrong map code, supposed to be in area 203 and it's in 303. That'll stop it from selling. And here's the third one, and please don't let it get out of this room. Price. I believe there are thousands, tens of thousands of overpriced listings in Armless right now. The good news is if you want to learn to list, you have so many, I'm going to go out and do three presentations a day just for practice. You got a lot of people you can practice on. That's good news. That's really good news. That makes sense. Beautiful.